This is a non-biased examination of the ancient texts of the Bible that have accurately predicted the future multiple times. This is not affiliated with any religion or doctrine. All required research was done independently by myself, and it's protected by copyright unless otherwise noted. In the past decade, many researchers have recognized that the sign in Revelation 12 involves the constellation Virgo, but in this video, we're going to show that the heavenly sign described in Revelation 12 involves not only the constellation Virgo with the moon beneath her feet, but also the sun at the line representing her birth canal and the planet Saturn representing the dragon waiting to devour. The sign also involves the meteor shower that comes from the dragon constellation and also the galaxy that scientists literally call a halo that is in Virgo's head region. And we're going to show in this video that this sign occurred in the sky in 686 CE while the Abomination of Desolation was being built on the Jerusalem Temple Mount. And most recently, the sign occurred in the year 2012. So everything I'm about to show you can be verified independently using the software Stellarium that is available for free on the internet. So the King James translation of Revelation 12:1 says, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven," and that word translated as wonder, which is number 4592, it also means sign or of signs portending remarkable events soon to happen. So Revelation 12 is about to describe a sign that will appear in heaven that will warn of events that are about to happen. And the event after this sign in Revelation 12, as you can see in verse 6, is the escape. And we'll talk about that in another video. But the sign in heaven prior to the escape in Revelation 12 is described in verses 1 through 5. And we're going to list each point here so we can have a closer look at what's being said. So the first point is that the sign will appear in heaven. And that's verse 1. There appeared a great sign in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun. So the sign is a woman in heaven clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet. So the moon is under the feet of the woman in heaven and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. So number 4, the woman has a crown of 12 stars on her head. Then verse 2, and she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. So number 5, the woman is in process of giving birth. And verse 3, there appeared another sign in heaven. So in addition to the sign of the woman, a second sign will also appear in heaven. A great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. So number 7, a red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns will appear in heaven. Then verse 4, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. So number 8, the dragon's tail will cast 1/3 of the stars to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered. So number 9, the dragon is standing before the woman for to devour her child as soon as it was born. So number 10 is the dragon is waiting to devour the child as soon as it's born. And verse 5, she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. So the child that the woman in heaven is giving birth to is the man who will rule with a rod of iron. So these are the 10 points in Revelation 12 verses 1 through 5. But there are actually 2 signs here. So we're going to look at each of these 2 signs one at a time. Then we're going to start with the first one. So the first point of the first sign is that this sign will appear in heaven. And in Genesis 1, 14 through 19, we're told the lights in heaven are to be used for signs, the greater light to rule the day, which is the sun, and the lesser light to rule the night, which is the moon and the stars also. So the sun, moon, and stars are to be used for signs. So this sign in Revelation 12 will probably have something to do with the sun, moon, and stars. So we're also told in Job 9:9 that God is the maker of the constellations, and it gives the example of the bear, which is a constellation, and Orion, which is another constellation, and the Pleiades, which is a translation of the word 3598, which means a cluster of stars or a constellation of seven stars. So Job 9:9 is telling us that God created the constellations. And we have more confirmation of that in Psalm 19. It says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament show his handiwork." And that word firmament refers to the sky. So you can see a few other translations here that say the sky displays his craftsmanship. And that craftsmanship in the skies, it says in verse 2, utters speech and shows knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth. So when it says the line of the craftsmanship in the skies, that seems to be a clear indication that it's referring to the constellations. So verses 2 through 4 of Psalm 19 are saying the constellations utter speech and show knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. And that makes sense because the myths about the constellations are all over the world in every culture. So the biblical texts tell us that the sun, moon, and stars, including the constellations, are to be used for signs. So this sign of a woman in heaven clothed with the sun probably refers to a constellation that represents a woman. And as we know, there are many constellations all over the sky, but there are specifically 12 constellations that are along the orbital plane of our solar system, the ecliptic plane that Earth rotates around the sun. So there are only 12 constellations around that. And that's important because this woman constellation, it says, must be clothed with the sun. And the only way that can happen from our perspective on Earth is if the woman is one of the constellations that surrounds the ecliptic plane where Earth circles around the sun. So you can see here the 12 constellations that cross that ecliptic plane are Libra, Scorpius, Sagittarius, Capricornus, and as we continue around, we have Aquarius and Pisces, then Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, Leo, Virgo, and then back to Libra again. So those are the 12 constellations that are along the ecliptic plane. So, from our perspective on Earth, it appears that the sun moves through these 12 constellations as we rotate around the sun. So, for example, in December, the sun appears to move through Sagittarius. In March, we see it in front of the backdrop of Pisces. In June, it appears to pass through Gemini. And in September, we see the constellation Virgo behind the sun. So, out of all the constellations in the sky, only 12 of them can be clothed with the sun from our perspective on Earth, as it says in Revelation 12, a woman clothed with the sun. And out of all 12 of the ecliptic constellations that the sun appears to travel through, only one of them represents a woman. So, Libra represents the scales, and it's clothed with the sun around November. Scorpius represents the scorpion and is clothed with the sun in December. The sun appears to move through Sagittarius, the centaur, later in December, Capricorn, the goat, in January, Aquarius, the water bearer, around February, Pisces, the fish, in March, Aries, the ram, in April and May, Taurus, the bull, in May, Gemini, the twins, in June, Cancer, the crab, in July, Leo, the lion, in August, and Virgo, the only woman out of all 12 ecliptic constellations, is clothed with the sun starting in September from our perspective on Earth. So the only possibility for this heavenly sign, the woman in heaven clothed with the sun, is the constellation Virgo in the fall season when the sun appears to travel through it, generally in September and October. So the first point in Revelation 12 is that the sign can only occur in September or October when Virgo is clothed with the sun. But it becomes even more specific about the date when it says the moon will be under the feet of the woman. So next we need to find the days when the moon passes under the feet of Virgo during this time frame when the sun is present. So the sun appears to move in front of the backdrop of Virgo in September. So we're going to remove the atmosphere here so we can see the planets and the moon more clearly. And we're also going to take out this artwork because it's misleading. So this is what the actual constellation of Virgo looks like. You can see these lines represent her arms. This is her body. And these are her two legs here. And you can see the date and time here. And you can see we're looking at the year 2012 because the sign actually occurred that year and it was more precise than the other years that I found. So we're going to use this year as the example before we look at the other years. So you can see here the sun was just reaching the tip of Virgo's hand around September 14th in the year 2012. And we're going to change the layout here a little bit to show the ecliptic plane horizontally. This right here is roughly the ecliptic plane where the planets rotate around the sun. So the planets appear to move through Virgo in this direction along roughly this plane, and the moon also travels this plane in the same direction as it rotates around the Earth. So from our perspective on Earth, the sun was moving into Virgo around September 15th in 2012, and the moon also just happened to be moving in around that same date in 2012. So the moon travels through Virgo from our perspective on Earth for about 3 days. And on September 19th, 2012, the moon reached the feet of Virgo and it was in perfect alignment with the two stars representing her feet. And this alignment occurs at a specific hour. So you can see here the hour is 5:10. And just a few hours later at 10 o'clock, the moon is moving into Libra and is no longer in alignment with the feet. So the moon's alignment with Virgo's feet occurs within a specific hour of each cycle around the Earth. And the sun is in Virgo only about one or two moon cycles per year. So the Revelation 12 sign can only occur during a small window in any given year, even if you only consider two factors, the sun in Virgo and the moon at her feet. It still narrows the sign down to only two possible days per year. So as you can see, we're still only in the first verse of Revelation 12, and it has narrowed this sign down to only two possible dates within any given year. And in 2012, the first possible date was September 19th. And then the moon continued around the Earth for another cycle. And it came back around into Virgo around October 13th. And it traveled through Virgo for about 3 days. And it reached the feet on the 16th, and we'll just move the time up to about 12:30 when the alignment occurred. And the time would be different depending on where you are on the planet. So this here is the perspective from a later time zone, but no matter what time it is where you are, the moon reaches the feet during a specific hour of one specific day each cycle. So the second possible date for this sign in 2012 was October 16th. So the sun in Virgo narrows this sign down to only 2 months of any given year, September or October, and the moon under the feet narrows it down to only two possible dates within any given year. So now let's move on to the next point. The woman has a crown of 12 stars on her head. So in the head region of Virgo, there is a cluster of galaxies called the Virgo Cluster. And the center galaxy of this Virgo cluster is called Messier 87, otherwise known as M87. And Orbiting this galaxy is an abnormally large population of about 12,000 globular clusters, which are spherical clusters of stars. So basically, 12,000 of these star clusters are orbiting the center galaxy of the Virgo cluster in the head region of the constellation Virgo. And astrophysicists literally refer to this galaxy as a halo. So this is an article from the University of Texas describing what they call the dark matter halo of M87. According to scientists, it's one of the most massive galaxies in the local universe. And another interesting point about this halo in Virgo's head is it measures 120,000 light years in diameter, making it the dominant galaxy in the center of the Virgo cluster. And others say it contains the most massive black hole in the universe. And also the coordinates of the Virgo cluster itself are right ascension 1227 and declination 1243. So basically 1212. So this massive M87 galaxy located roughly at coordinates 1212 is 120,000 light years in diameter and has 12,000 star clusters orbiting it. So astrophysicists refer to this galaxy over Virgo's head region as a halo of 12,000 star clusters orbiting a 120,000 diameter galaxy, and its coordinates are roughly 12 hours and 12 degrees. So the crown of 12 stars on her head in verse 1 seems to be a confirmation that the woman in heaven clothed with the sun is the constellation Virgo. And also, the star clusters in Virgo's head continue upward into the constellation Coma Berenices. Coma Berenices contains the northern portion of the Virgo cluster, and the constellation Coma Berenices is known as the Lock of Hair. It was named after Queen Berenice II, the wife of Ptolemy III. So this Lock of Hair, Coma Berenices, contains the northern portion of the Virgo cluster, and the brightest star in the Coma Berenices open cluster is known as 12 Comae Berenices. So there's another 12. So this region of space from the head of Virgo into Coma Berenices is the hair of star clusters, and it's called the Virgo Coma Cluster. And these are just a few pictures of some of these clusters. This one literally looks like hair, and this one is actually shaped like a crown. So the crown of 12 stars described in the first verse of Revelation 12 that is upon Virgo's head appears to be these 12,000 star clusters orbiting the dominant galaxy in the center of the Virgo cluster that scientists named the halo, which harbors the most massive black hole in the universe by some estimates and is in the midst of Virgo's hair of star clusters that span up to Coma Berenices. So the fourth point in Revelation 12 serves as confirmation that the woman in heaven is the constellation Virgo, and this halo of 12,000 star clusters is something that could not have been known until recent years, which is another reason Gabriel indicated in Daniel 12 that the riddle would not be understood until the end time. So next, we're told Virgo is in the process of giving birth to the man who will rule with a rod of iron. So verse 5 is giving us a code. It says the woman is giving birth to a man who will rule with the rod of iron. And this is important because it tells us that not only does the sun need to be in Virgo and the moon at her feet, but there also needs to be a celestial object on the line that separates her body from her legs. So this is the line that represents Virgo's birth canal. And the texts say she's giving birth. So either a planet or the sun needs to be on or very near this line to represent Virgo in the process of giving birth. So the biblical texts tell us that the constellations were created by the Elohim. And they were created in such a way that as the planets move around the sun, they appear from our perspective on Earth to move through Virgo's stomach and pass the line representing her birth canal, giving the impression that Virgo is giving birth to the planets and the sun. So in this case, it says she's giving birth to a celestial object that represents a man who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And that phrase, rule with a rod of iron, is also found in the book of Revelation in chapter 19, verses 11 through 16. It says, I saw heaven opened and a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and he had a name written that no man knew. His name is called the Word of God, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he had on his vesture a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So it says the man who rules with a rod of iron is the King of Kings. And the King of Kings is also mentioned in chapter 17. It says the Lamb is the King of Kings. And in the book of John and also in other books, we're told that Jesus is the Lamb. So the woman in heaven, it says, is giving birth to the man who will rule with the rod of iron. And the one who rules with the rod of iron is the King of Kings, who is the Lamb, who is Jesus. And Jesus is also referred to as the bridegroom. So Mark 2, for example, says, some people came to Jesus and asked why his followers don't fast. And he said, at a wedding, the friends of the bridegroom are not sad while he is with him. So they don't fast while the bridegroom is still there. But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken for them, and then they will fast. So we know now that refers to Passover when Jesus was crucified and taken away from them. So that indicates that Jesus is the bridegroom. So Jesus is the Lamb and also the bridegroom, and that is pretty much standard knowledge amongst biblical scholars. But notice Psalm 19 clarifies for us that the Son represents the bridegroom. It says in verse 4, their line is gone out through all the earth. So we know that that refers to the constellations, their line. And in them, in the constellations, in other words, he set a tabernacle for the Son, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. So it says here the Son is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. And in the King James Version, it used the word chamber to refer to the constellations, because here it says the chambers of the south in Job 9:9. And in the New International Version, it says the constellations of the south. So the constellations and the chambers are interchangeable. So when it says here in Psalm 19 verses 4 and 5 that the sun is as a bridegroom coming out of its chamber, it can also say the sun is as a bridegroom coming out of its constellation. So Jesus is the bridegroom, and the sun is as a bridegroom coming out of its chamber or constellation. So the woman is giving birth to the celestial object that represents Jesus the bridegroom. And Psalm 19 makes it very clear that the bridegroom is represented by the Son. So in other words, the Son is the celestial object that must be at Virgo's birth canal. So in order for this sign to be fulfilled, the Son must not only be in Virgo, but the Son must be specifically at the line representing Virgo's birth canal. So Psalm 19 says, in them, in the firmament, or the constellations, the Elohim set a tabernacle for the Son, the bridegroom Jesus being born out of his mother the Virgin, as the story goes. So the bridegroom's Son symbolically being born out of the constellation Virgo the Virgin. And this is also confirmed in Revelation 22. It says directly that Jesus is the morning star. And this is another riddle that could not be understood until recent times, and that is that our sun is a star. It's the closest star to us, and we use the word morning to describe the rising of our star over the eastern horizon each day. So the morning star is the sun. So Revelation 12 says, the woman in heaven is giving birth to the man with the rod of iron, who is the King of Kings, who is the Lamb, who is Jesus, who is the bridegroom, which is represented by the sun, which is the morning star, which Jesus clarifies he is. So there's no doubt which celestial object represents the man with the rod of iron. It's the sun. So you can see an example of this celestial configuration described in Revelation 12 occurred on October 16th, 2012. The sun was in Virgo, and more specifically, it was exactly on the line representing Virgo's birth canal. At the exact hour, the moon was in alignment with the two stars representing her feet. So you can see on this other possible date in September of 2012, when the sun was in Virgo and the moon at her feet, it doesn't qualify as the sign described in Revelation 12 because the sun was not at the birth canal. So now we can see that October 16th, 2012 was the only day of the whole year that fits what Revelation 12 describes so far. But there's more to this sign. It continues in verse 3 with the second part to this. So it says, a second sign will appear in heaven, a great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns. And this is a reference to the beast with 7 heads and 10 horns, which is described in Revelation 13. So the dragon in Revelation 12 has 7 heads and 10 horns, and the beast in Revelation 13 has 7 heads and 10 horns. And the beast with 7 heads and 10 horns in Revelation 13 is a combination of the 4 beasts described in Daniel 7. So it says in Revelation 13, a beast rose up out of the sea having 7 heads and 10 horns, and the beast was like a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power. So we'll go into more detail about this in another video, but for now, notice the beast with 7 heads and 10 horns includes the first 3 beasts in Daniel 7, the lion, the bear, and the leopard. Also notice the 4th beast in Daniel 7 had 10 horns, as does the beast in Revelation 13. So we already charted the beast in Daniel. And we found out the first was the lion, the Babylonian Empire, the second was the bear, the first Persian Empire, the third was the leopard, the Greek Empire, and the fourth was the Roman Empire, and it had 10 horns. And we'll go into more detail about this later, but the United Nations is the 4th phase of the Roman Empire, and the United Nations has 7 heads and 10 horns. So the sign in Revelation 12 of the dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns refers to the 4th phase of the Roman Empire, at least on one level. And that's important to understand because it's going to help us with another important piece of this riddle later on. But next, we're told this dragon will cast 1/3 of the stars to the earth with its tail. And that's a reference to the star mentioned in Revelation 8 and 9, the star that fell from heaven and opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit, and the 3rd part of the sun, the 3rd part of the moon, and the 3rd part of the stars were darkened, and there fell great hail out of heaven. So scientists know that an asteroid or comet impact would also be carrying debris along with it that would fall like large stones of hail. So this event in Revelation is an asteroid impact. Daniel confirmed that. Jesus confirmed that. We've talked about that before. But it says here the darkness of the sun and moon will be caused by the smoke rising out of the pit that is caused by the star that falls from heaven. And it's not just a darkening of the sun and moon, but a darkening of the sun, moon, and stars. So it's a darkening of the whole sky. So it's not saying that only 1/3 portion of the sun will go dark, 1/3 portion of the moon, 1/3 portion of the stars. It's saying the whole sky will go dark in the 3rd part of the earth. And that's important to understand. It's a riddle. Gabriel said they won't understand it until the end time. It's a riddle, and it's important to understand that. That it's talking about the 3rd part of the earth. The whole sky goes dark in the 3rd part of the earth. And once we understand that, then we can understand Revelation 12, verse 4, because it makes reference to that again. His tail drew the 3rd part of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. So what's the 3rd part? It's the 3rd part of the stars. It's where the asteroid hit. So Revelation 12 is telling us that this red dragon has a tail that will cast the stars to the earth. And the 3rd portion of the stars refers to the hail from the asteroid that hits the 3rd part of the earth. So the book of Daniel said the burning stone is so big it will be a mountain in the land after it hits. And Revelation tells us that the dust from the impact will darken the sky for a whole third portion of the earth. So on another level, the tail of the dragon refers to a comet or asteroid. And Daniel called it a stone cut out without hands, and he also called it a fiery stream or a burning flame. In other words, a burning flame stone will destroy the fourth empire. And we looked at this in a previous video. And this burning stone is described in Revelation 12 as a red dragon. So there are multiple meanings for this dragon. First, it refers to the Roman Empire, which Daniel indicated consists of four sections. So just really quick, remember Daniel made clear that the little horn will fight against the Prince of Princes and will be destroyed by the asteroid. And that little horn is part of the 10 horns of the Roman Empire, and it subdues three others. So that indicates there's four sections of the Roman Empire, and the United Nations is the fourth, and it has 7 heads and 10 horns. And we'll talk about that more in another video. So the dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns in Revelation 12 represents first the fourth phase of the Roman Empire, the United Nations that has 7 heads and 10 horns. And this tells us when the asteroid will hit. And the second thing this dragon represents is the comet or asteroid impact itself. So this code of the dragon in Revelation 12 seems to be giving us both the what and the when of what this sign portends or what it's warning about. But this dragon also represents a third element, and that is the constellation Draco, which stands before the woman Virgo in the sky. And Draco is a constellation in the far northern sky. Its name is Latin for dragon. And there's a meteor shower that comes from the Draco constellation every year in October. It's called the Draconids meteor shower. So verse 4 says, the dragon cast the stars to the earth and stood before the woman. So the meteor shower comes from the dragon constellation every October when the sun is in Virgo, and the dragon constellation stands before the woman Virgo in the sky. So the Draconid meteor shower in October fulfills the sign of the dragon casting the stars to the earth. And that's using the third representation of the dragon. But there's one more important point. It says the dragon is waiting to devour the child as soon as it's born in verse 4. So this is important. There's a good reason why it makes a point of saying that the dragon is standing before the woman to devour the child as soon as it's born. And verse 9 tells us that the dragon is called Satan. And you can pronounce that however you want. But the original translation of this was the word Satanus. And the Hebrew root for that word is simply S-T-N. So this can easily refer to Saturn, which was one of the prominent gods of the Roman Empire, which was the fourth beast in the book of Daniel. And Saturn was also known for devouring his own children. Specifically, he devoured his children as soon as they were born. So the dragon in Revelation 12, who waits to devour the child as soon as it's born, is a literary reference to the Roman myth of Saturn, which may be why the original Hebrew word is S-T-N. So the dragon represents the Roman Empire on one level, and their prominent god Saturn on another level. And that makes sense because in our close examination of Daniel 11, verse 8 referred to Cleopatra, Selene II, and King Juba, who brought the gods of Rome to Mauritania. And during the reign of their son Ptolemy, the cult of Saturn became important in Mauritania, and then various temples to Saturn were built there. So Daniel 11:8 specifically mentioned the gods that they brought from Rome, which in this case was the god Saturn. So So Daniel 11:8 specifically is highlighting the god Saturn once you understand this. It says in Mauritania, the temple was dedicated to Saturn by the year 30, which is the same generation the temple of Saturn was reconstructed in Rome. And this is the ruins of the temple of Saturn in Rome right here. You can see the Roman church in the background. This is another photo of it. And that church is known as the Santi Luca e Martina. And its construction was commissioned in 625. So notice its commissioning is 625. That was exactly 70 years prior to 685 when they began construction on the Dome of the Rock. So Daniel 11 clarified for us that this temple here is a Roman temple, which you can see is part of the temple dedicated to the god Saturn. And this is just a side note, but notice there are eight pillars left standing of the Temple of Saturn. And in Roman times, it says here the Temple of Saturn housed the state treasury. And these eight pillars of the old Saturn temple that housed the state treasury are also at the front entrance of the U.S. Department of Treasury. So this is a replica of the ancient Roman Temple of Saturn, complete with the Roman Church in Washington, D.C. So the dragon in Revelation 12 refers on one level to the Roman god Saturn, whose celestial counterpart is obviously the planet Saturn. So the dragon in Revelation 12 also represents the planet Saturn. And when it says the dragon was waiting to devour the child as soon as it's born, that definitely refers to the Roman god Saturn, whose heavenly counterpart is the planet Saturn. So in order for this sign of Revelation 12 to be fulfilled, the planet Saturn must be in a position relative to the constellation Virgo that resembles waiting to devour her child. In other words, it should be outside of or below Virgo's birth canal line. So the planet Saturn should be in this area right here. It wouldn't be waiting to devour the child if it was in Virgo's stomach or up on her arm. It's waiting to devour the child as soon as it's born. So the planet Saturn must be present and in this area. Otherwise, the sign of Revelation 12 is not complete. So Saturn is the celestial object that represents the Roman god who devoured his children as soon as they were born. So this is the sign described in Revelation 12 as it occurred on October 16th, 2012. And this is another perspective right here. So both the first sign of Revelation 12 and the second sign of Revelation 12 are one celestial configuration. The sign portion of this is highlighted here in yellow, and the portents of this sign, in other words, what the sign is warning about, is highlighted here in red. So that's the sign in Revelation 12. There are very deep layers in this, but it's describing a celestial configuration in the sky that looks like this. And a few years ago, I searched for this configuration from the year 1 AD to the year 3000, and I've checked it a few more times since then. And this is about how many times this configuration has occurred in the sky between the year 1 AD and the year 3000. But you'll notice I have two columns here. The column on the left shows how the sign occurred when Saturn was inside Virgo, and the column on the right shows all the times that it occurred with Saturn outside Virgo. And this has to do with the fourth point of the second sign that says the dragon is standing before the woman in the sky. So we know the dragon constellation Draco is before the woman. You can see Virgo is facing in this direction, and the dragon constellation is in front of her. And even if we take out the artwork, you can still see that Virgo's arms, body, and legs are curved in that direction, toward Draco to symbolize which way she's facing. So the dragon standing before the woman is Draco on the one hand, but it's also, we know the dragon is Saturn. So the fact that it tells us Saturn is standing before the woman for to devour the child as soon as it's born, that means that Saturn needs to be in position that represents being before Virgo. So you can see which direction Virgo is facing. So when Saturn is down here, it's below, behind, or after the woman. It's not before the woman. So we know the dragon Saturn is waiting to devour the child as soon as it's born. So it needs to be outside of Virgo's stomach. And once it's outside of the stomach, it passes through this triangle area where it can still be considered before the woman waiting to devour. But eventually, it exits that triangle area and it moves on toward the constellation Libra. And in this space, is behind or below or after the woman. It's no longer before the woman when it's in that space outside of the triangle. So sometimes the sign occurs where the sun is at Virgo's birth canal at the exact moment the moon reaches the feet, but Saturn is outside of that triangle below or after Virgo, so it doesn't really count as the sign. But I put those instances in here anyway in the right side column so you can see all of the variables. So you can see the configuration happened in the left column. This is how many times it actually occurred. And you can see it happened about 13 or 14 times in 3,000 years. And some of the alignments are more exact than others. So we're going to look at all of these and I'll show you how I did this in case you want to check for yourself. I use the free software Stellarium to conduct this search, so anyone can use this to replicate what I did. So you can see here that the moon moves through Virgo very fast, and Mars here is moving through faster than Saturn, and that's because Saturn's orbit around the sun is about 29 years. So Saturn takes a few years to pass through Virgo, and the sun moves through Virgo in about a month, and the moon moves through in a few days. And when the moon lands at the feet, that is in a specific hour. So the sun passing through Virgo's birth canal line at the exact moment the moon reaches alignment with the feet is a rare occurrence. So we're just going to look at the next 30 years after the 2012 sign to see what happens. In 2012, the sun moves out of Virgo by November. So we're going to move this up to the year 2013, and we'll move the sun back through the birth canal. And you can see the moon is not present at all as the sun was moving through the birth canal line in 2013. And you can see Saturn is after Virgo anyway that year. So we'll move forward to the year 2014. And you can see Saturn moved into Libra by that time. So we need to move forward about 29 or so years until Saturn comes back into the position before the woman waiting to devour. And you can see Saturn will be in Virgo's belly again in the summer of 2041. And it passes through Virgo's birth canal in September. So we'll bring the sun through Virgo's birth canal in 2041, and you can see the moon will not be present as that occurs, so we'll move this up to the year 2042, and we'll pass the sun through the line that year. And you can see the moon will reach the feet on October 15th. And it's close, but the sun is above the birth canal line and Saturn is after or behind Virgo. So it's not really before the woman waiting to devour. But we'll put this on the table anyway. So on October 15th, 2042, the sun will be above Virgo's birth canal line and Saturn will be outside Virgo at that time. So it's not really a fulfillment of the sign, but it's on here for reference. So let's look at 1 AD through 157 so you can see the process by which this was discovered. And then we'll look at photos of each of the signs after that. So this is 1 AD in September when the sun was moving through Virgo. But you can see that the planet Saturn was not in Virgo at all at that time. So we need to move forward until the dragon is in position. So we're in year 3, 4, 5. And you can see Saturn is moving in and it was in Virgo's belly in the year 8 AD. And it stayed in the stomach as the sun passed through the canal line. So we'll move forward 1 year until the sun was in Virgo again. And we'll pass the sun through the line. And you can see the moon was not present at all at that time. So we'll move to the year 10 and pass the sun through the line again. And the moon was still not present. So we'll move up to the year 11. And by that time, Saturn was no longer in Virgo at all. So we need to move forward about 29 or so years to when Saturn was back in Virgo again. And you can see Saturn was back around and in Virgo's stomach in the year 37 AD. And it was still in the stomach when the sun passed through Virgo in 37. So we'll move this up to the year 38. And move the sun back through the line. And you can see the moon was not present that year. So we'll move up to the year. We'll move up to the year 39. And we'll pass the sun through again. And you can see the moon still was not present as the sun passed through. So we'll move this up to the year 40, and by that time Saturn moved out of Virgo. So we need to move forward again about 29 or so years until Saturn is in Virgo again. And Saturn was in the belly in 67 AD, but the sun was past the birth canal line at that point. So we'll move up to 68 AD. And move the sun back through the line. And the moon was not present at that time. So we'll move up to 69 AD. And we'll move the sun through the line again. And the moon was still not present. So we'll move up to 70 AD. And by that time, Saturn was in Libra. So we'll move forward until Saturn comes back around to Virgo. And you can see Saturn was in Virgo's belly in 96 AD and stayed in the belly until the sun moved out of Virgo. So we'll move this up to 97 AD and we'll pass the sun through the line. And you can see the moon was not near the feet at that time. So we'll move this up to 98 AD and we'll pass the sun through again. And you can see the moon was not present. So we'll move this up to 99 AD and Saturn moved into Libra by then. So we need to move forward again about 29 or so years until Saturn is back in Virgo. And you can see Saturn was entering position in 126, And the sun passed through the line while Saturn was coming out of the belly, and the moon was not present, so we'll move up to 127. And you can see the moon was at the feet after the sun already passed through the line. So we'll move up to 128. And we passed the sun through, and the moon was not present. So we'll move up to 129. And by then, Saturn had moved on to Libra. So we'll go forward until Saturn comes back around. And you can see Saturn was still in the belly in 155 when the sun passed through the line. So we'll move up to 156. And the moon was not present when the sun passed through that year. So we'll move up to 157. And you can see the moon entering in as the sun passes through. So we'll move forward by the hour. And you can see the moon aligns with the feet of Virgo as the sun is passing just below the line representing her birth canal. So that alignment occurred September 22nd, 157. And the sun was on or below the line at that time, and Saturn was outside or behind Virgo, not in front. So that's why it's listed in the right column with the others that occurred while Saturn was behind Virgo. So the celestial configurations in the right column are not really fulfillments because the dragon Saturn was not really before the woman. But I've recorded those configurations anyway, just so we can see how many times they occur. So I won't make you go through the process of searching for the rest of these. We'll just look at the photos, but you can always check for yourself to verify what I'm about to show you. So the next time the sign occurred after 157 was September 21st, 244. And you can see Saturn was in the right position, waiting to devour. The moon reached alignment with the feet as the sun was just barely touching the line of Virgo's birth canal. So the sun was above the line on September 21st, 244, as it says right here. And the next one after that was in 363, but you can see the sun wasn't actually touching the line when the moon reached the feet, and Saturn was behind or under Virgo, so this was not really a fulfillment of the sign. But in 393, the sun was on or below the line, although Saturn was outside of Virgo, not before her, when the moon reached the feet. So September 23rd, 393, right here, the sun was on or below the line. Then in the year 450, Saturn was just under the line and the sun was on or above. So September 23rd, 450, the sun was on or above the line and Saturn was in position. Then in 599, it was close, but the sun was below and not touching the line and Saturn was outside. So September 26, 599, the sun was below and not touching the line, and Saturn was outside Virgo. Then in 686, Saturn was in position to devour, and the sun was just above, but still touching the line while the moon reached the feet. So September 24th, 686, the sun was on or above the line, and Saturn was waiting before the woman in position. So that was a fulfillment, and that was the year the Abomination of Desolation was set up. It was actually the second year of the building of the Dome of the Rock, which we found out in Daniel chapter 11 was the Abomination of Desolation that was set up exactly 1290 years after the first sacrifice was taken away in 606 BC, as it says in Daniel 12. So this sign of Revelation 12 that occurred in 686 was an important event, but we'll talk about that more in another video. So then in 6, I'm sorry, in 805, it was close, but the sun was not even touching the line when the moon reached the feet. So that's not a fulfillment. But in 835, the sun was on or below the line when the moon reached the feet, and Saturn was below or after Virgo. So September 27th, 835, the sun was on or below the line and Saturn was outside. Then in 892, the sun was exactly on the line representing Virgo's birth canal, and Saturn was in position to devour at the same moment the moon reached alignment with the feet. So September 26th, 892, the sun was exactly on the line and Saturn was in position before the woman. So I highlighted that one because the sun was perfectly in alignment with the line representing Virgo's birth canal. And as you can see, that exact alignment only happened three times in 3,000 years. And the most recent exact alignment was in 2012. But we'll get to that later. So in 1098, it was close, but you can see Saturn is still inside the belly. So this one doesn't count. Then in 1128, the sun was on or above the line and Saturn was in position to devour. So September 27th, 1128, the sun was on or above the line and Saturn was in position. Then in 1334, the sun was on or below the line while Saturn was in position and the moon at the feet. So September 30th, 1334, the sun was on or below the line. Then in 1540, the sun was below the line, only barely touching it. So on October 1st, 1540, the sun was below the line. And then in 1570, the sun was exactly on the line again at the precise moment the moon reached the feet and Saturn was in the position to devour. So on September 30th, 1570, we had another exact alignment. Then in 1776, the sun was on or below the line and Saturn was in position. So on October 13th, 1776, we had another fulfillment. Then in 1806, the sun just barely touched the line while Saturn was on the border just inside. So on October 13th, 1806, the sun was above the line while Saturn was in position. Also in 1982, the sun was just below the line while Saturn was in position and the moon at the feet, but the sun wasn't actually touching the line. So on October 18th, 1982, the sun was below and not touching the line. So it wasn't really a fulfillment, but we'll put it in just so we can see the number of times that it came close. And then in 2012, the sun was exactly on the line at the same moment the moon reached the alignment with the feet. And Saturn was in position to devour. So October 16th, 2012, the sun was in exact alignment with the line representing Virgo's birth canal, and Saturn was in position. So that was the third exact alignment in 3,000 years. And then in 2042, the sun will be on or above the line when the moon reaches the feet, but Saturn will be outside at that time, and that will be October 15th, 2042, when the sun will be above the line and Saturn outside. So it's not really a fulfillment when Saturn's not standing before the woman. And then in 2218, the sun will be below the line when the moon reaches the feet on October 21st, 2218. So below the line, just barely touching it, if at all, in 2218. And then in 2248, the sun will be above the line and Saturn will be outside the position when the moon is beneath the feet. So October 18th, 2248, the sun will be above the line and Saturn is not before the woman. So that's not really a fulfillment. Then in 2454, the sun will be on or below the line and Saturn is on the border on October 23rd. So October 23rd, 2454 is another fulfillment, although it's not as exact as it was in 2012. Then in 2690, the sun will be on or above the line and Saturn will be outside on October 25th. So not really a fulfillment in 2690, although close. Then in 2720, the sun will be way above the line when the moon reaches the feet. So we won't include that on the table. And in 2896, the sun will be on or below the line when the moon reaches the feet, and Saturn will be just outside of the border when that happens on October 28th, 2896, which is not really the full sign. And finally, in 2926, the sun will be on or above the line when the moon reaches the feet, but Saturn is below and behind Virgo, not before her. So October 29th, 2926 won't be the full sign either. So almost every occurrence in the left column was the full sign described in Revelation 12, except for 1982 when the sun wasn't really touching the line. And there were varying degrees of accuracy in all of these fulfillments. Some of the years the sun was more above the line, and in others the sun was more below the line. And there were only three times in all 3,000 years that the sun was exactly on Virgo's birth canal line at the exact hour the moon reached alignment with the feet, with Saturn in the position before the woman waiting to devour. And out of those three exact alignments, 2012 was the most recent, and a more exact alignment will not occur again before the year 3000. So the two signs in Revelation 12 verses 1 through 5 describe one celestial configuration in the sky from our perspective on Earth. And Revelation 12 says, after this sign appears, the child of the woman will be caught up to God into his throne, and the woman will flee into the wilderness. And this ties into what we discussed in a previous video. We're told the sign occurs before the escape, and the sign occurred in 686 while the abomination of desolation was being built on the Jerusalem Temple Mount. And Jesus said in Matthew 24 that those in Judea will flee into the wilderness after that, starting a 1260-year tribulation that will end with the asteroid impact. So we'll continue this next week. So if you want more information, the whole series playlist is linked here, and there are several other videos linked in the description below. Just click on Show More to open up more links on this subject. And if you like this video and you want this to continue, please consider providing support, because I can't do this without the help of viewers like you. So thank you so much to those of you who are making these presentations possible. I hope you're doing well, and I'll talk to you next week.